Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And from 2015, Screen Verdict is...
Yeah, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year. And Happy Festivus from myself. I'm sure Matt
Merry
would like
Christmas.
To wish you a Merry Christmas.
It was Christmas!
For the unpolitically correct greetings of the season. Yes, we're first podcast in the new year. Very exciting. Got to kick it off with a big one. Matt, what are we going to be reviewing?
Well, it's The Hunger Games. And this is, I guess, a podcast which the odds were not in our favour for a bit. Because like, I hadn't seen the movie for a week. Then the day I was ready to do a podcast, you were out or something. Then you had family around, so things got busy for you. Then today there was a debacle with delivery, food delivery. You were playing the real life Hunger Games for that food to arrive.
Dude, I was so hungry. I think that was honestly tougher than the actual Hunger Games. The mind games going back and forth, me calling management on the delivery guy. Are they in? Is the delivery guy in on it? Is he saying he's already left and he's looking for the? But really, he's just back at the shop. Those two were in cahoots for sure.
It's like Katniss sort of going like I've kissed Peter. When's that sponsorship going to arrive? Sorry, made a mistake there. Peter or how do you say it? Peter? Like it's not like Peter.
Peter. Well, Australians don't pronounce their R's anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1.
Yeah, third movie. We've done podcasts on the first two movies.
Yeah, I wasn't really sold on the first one. Kind of like the second one. So it's a good pattern. It's an upward trend. Expectations are surely
like
through the roof for Hunger Games 3.
Yes, and fans of Screen Verdict will know that for all our Hunger Games podcasts, we're joined by Jess Jones, our resident book expert, because she works in a library. She's working at that library now, so she sends her apologies.
It's catch 22. You want the library expert, but she's too busy at the library.
Yeah. So it's a debacle. It's another debacle, but she has sent me her thoughts on the movie In Absentia, which is a fancy word meaning, like, not here.
Well, you might read them out at some point, Matt. I'm sure you'll do them complete justice. Will not be misrepresenting Jess Jones's take on the film whatsoever.
Yeah.
Long-time listeners of the podcast also may know that... I have a girlfriend, a real one. She exists. It's true.
Not a catfish situation.
And Bonnie has been on a couple of podcasts, has also read the books, and she will be accessible by yelling across the apartment. Babe, say something.
Hi, Internet.
She wishes the Internet...
Hello.
Hello. So she'll be available to clarify any mistakes which we inevitably make while talking about the film. So let's kick it off. Where are we? How does the film begin?
Well, the last Hunger Games were a bit of a debacle. There's sort of this big Katniss shot the force field with one of her arrows, and then she looked like she died. Some spaceship came and picked her up. Yeah. So it was sort of like no one won the Hunger Games. It was sort of like just a bit of a, yeah, it just didn't end well.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing you like more in events, competitions, sporting matches than a draw. Or yeah, even worse, just a no result.
Yeah, like a rain out or something like that. Like wet, cancelled due to wet weather type situation.
So I was looking forward to the rematch, the replay.
All Stars 2. This time it's personal.
This time you can't shoot the dome out of the sky.
Yeah, they're like, we're bringing in no shooting dome rule. We're going to have a no the dome.
Good rule, good rule. But we don't start off with the Hunger Games. We start off... we'll try not to... Are we doing spoilers?
Hasn't everyone seen it or read the books by now? Should we maybe just talk spoilers?
All right, on three. 1, 2, 3. Spoiler alert. Woo, 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 woo.
That should have definitely been decided in our production meeting. not just live on the podcast.
It is live, behind the scenes. This is what Screen Verdict listeners have been after.
Yeah, and I think it's the good call.
Yeah.
I like the call. I know I was the one who made it, but...
But that's not what happens, spoiler alert. We start in the... It's sort of like a hospital-looking thing. And it looks as though Katniss is there against her will. It's a little creepy. She's like, no, just let me stay here for a few more minutes. Don't pull out! That was my Katniss impression.
Great.
The hallmark of a good impression, I didn't even use her name. I didn't have to say, ooh, I'm Katniss, please don't drag me out of the room. Everyone just knew it was Katniss from the voice alone.
Mm. So anyway, she's in the spaceship hospital thing, or wherever they are. She's not happy because Peter wasn't saved. I think the plan was to save Peter, or that was what everyone told her the plan was. Right?
Yeah, she's so selfless. She's not really concerned with saving herself or really any of the other districts, it would seem, at least from Philip Seymour Hoffman and Julianne Moore's perspective. She's just worried about Peter. I'm not going to do it because you said you'd get Peter out and then you didn't, so I'm just going to get all angsty and stroppy about it.
Yeah, she's... So, like, couldn't you just have left me there and use Peter for, like, what you need me for? And they're like, no. You're the hero of the
story. He's not the Mockingjay. No one really cares. You're not really a symbol of the... He's not a symbol of the rebellion.
Yeah.
If he was maybe, you know, Peter the Falcon, all right? Maybe people would be like, yeah, we'll rescue the Falcon. People
if
like him.
If he'd spent less time in the first Hunger Games painting himself like a rock and more time shooting things with arrows, maybe he'd be able to sell a rebellion. So,
throw your...
But that all being said, so they need Katniss. They want her to be this Mockingjay person. So they're not... It seems like Philip Seymour Hoffman, and we have new to the team, President Julianne Moore. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got them. They seem like they're not focused on winning the next Hunger Games.
No.
Seems like they've got a bit of a bigger picture, a bigger sort of thing they want to do, which is destroy District 1 and take over the world.
That's one way to up the stakes. I want to see that on the next season of Survivor, okay?
Yeah.
This season of Survivor, instead of trying to outwit, outlast, outplay on the island, what we're going to do is try and take over Washington and rule the world.
Yeah.
I would totally watch that season.
Yeah. We see them building weapons, coming up with ads that are going to inspire people in, you know, the 50 states of America to take up their arms. Yeah.
So eventually they get her in. They're like, all right, you know, you seem pretty passionate about this Peter guy. I guess we'll concede by saying, oh yeah, we'll go get him at some point. Let's go make some propaganda videos.
Well, this is great. I love that they take it out. They go, oh, just show her District 12 or District 11 or something. She'll have a bit of a cry and lie and realize, no, there's a bigger picture than just Peter. And I was, when I watched this movie, I saw it on my own, because I usually go see it with Jess, but she went and saw it with her husband in, like, Melbourne or something this year, so I missed out on getting to see it with Jess. So I had to see it on my own. So I thought I'll live tweet the movie. I'll live tweet my thoughts, so I can share my thoughts with with Twitter rather than, you know, my Jess or you or whoever I'm usually seeing movies with. So,
Twitter won't leave me.
Yeah, Twitter won't leave me, yeah. So anyway, I thought it was interesting when she found the cat in her house.
Mm.
And that was my first live tweet. It was, can't wait for the scene where Katniss begs Plutarch, or Philip Seymour Hoffman, to keep the cat she found. Katniss cat. And she does. That's part of her negotiation for the... That was part of her, like, when she's trying to negotiate, okay, I'll be part of your resistance, but you got to save Peter. And they're like, nah, we don't like Peter. We're going to have to, like, execute him or something when we get him, because he's said mean things about us on TV. And then she's like, well, I'm out if you don't save Peter. And they're like, okay, we'll give him a pardon. And then she's like, and the cat. I get to keep the cat.
Is that because in this sort of post-apocalyptic world, people eat cats at Thanksgiving? And so normally you get the president gives the presidential pardon to a turkey. This year, yeah. Katniss is asking for the presidential pardon for this particular cat.
The presidential pardon's good. Like, that's a good angle. I was thinking a bit more, Phil Seymour Hoffman and Julianne Moore might not be on board with the cat. Just like, oh, we're going to, like, it's going to stink up the place. Like, it's like, we don't have an outdoor area for it to really enjoy. Like, Katniss is going to, like, you know, we're going to rescue Peter, and then all of a sudden she's going to want to spend all her time with him, and we're going to get stuck feeding the cats. Like, I thought that was maybe...
Bonnie, was the cat a central character in the books?
It was mentioned a lot in the books, yeah.
Oh, there you go. Stay true to the books with the cat. Couldn't leave out the cat. Core plot development.
My hashtag was Katniss Cat.
Did it catch on?
Let me click on the hashtag, see if other people have tweeted out Katniss Cat. No, that's the one tweet with that hashtag in it.
There should definitely be a Hunger Games sponsored pet food called Katniss Catnip.
Oh, that's great. Okay. So anyway, so we get onto the promos that they're making, and they've got they've got the green screen in play. They've got a fan blowing her hair out.
I enjoyed these scenes. Katniss, good archer, not such a good actor. We've been saying about this about Jennifer Lawrence for a while now. She can't act. Not really sure why that was part of
the... Oh, I thought you were
going to
say we're saying the reverse. Like, Jennifer Lawrence, great actress, mediocre actor.
So Jennifer Lawrence acting that she can't act was quite entertaining. Terrible promo ads with the... jets flying up overhead, her planting a flag in the ground. They're like, this is no good. We need to make her cry.
Yeah, I think this was the thing too, like, and Hamish came in and sorted it out with a bit of a, nah, this isn't what she's known for, but like, you're watching this, just pulling your hair out, going, you're the underdogs. You're meant to be the resurgence, the like, resistance, the sort of fighting the big guys. And it looks like they've got James Cameron in there to direct their like promo videos for the resurgence. People are going to just like think, oh, they've got so much money already. Why do they need us to help them out? Look at all these resources.
I can't believe they spent half the rebellion budget on CGI. Like, we could have been using that for weapons or...
Yeah.
This is wildly irresponsible budgeting.
Great idea. Take her to a hospital with poor people that are like victims of the District 1. Get some great footage of her crying, doing her old, like, you know, fingers up thing.
Yeah, who's going to get more emotional than Katniss in a hospital?
Oh, yeah.
Genius.
That was great. And then, they like attack the hospital, blow it up to make her like, oh, that's what you get for hanging out in District 1. Then she has, like, the killer lines of, like, sort of, like, her turning with the, like, imploding building behind her and, like, sort of going, like, we won't stand for this, or whatever she says. Like, what a hero moment.
And the president's just watching this, being saying, oh, we've got footage of them bombing a hospital. At least 200 people must have died. This is just fantastic footage. This is great for the rebellion.
Yeah. Because, like, I think Donald Sutherland sort of thought, this is a bad idea for, this will make Katniss look bad. People won't want to sign up for her. But it makes the guy blowing up the hospital look worse. Like, he's definitely going to get worse press than Katniss. Like,
you think of the skills that would come in handy in this Hunger Games post-apocalypse world, like archery, being able to paint yourself as a rock, being a reality TV producer, also very handy. We emotionally manipulate people, set up fake events, create emotion, drama, propaganda. It's a highly lucrative skill to have in the Hunger Games world.
Yeah. Now, I had a few concerns that I tweeted about with these advertising campaigns. Oh, well, there were two thoughts I had. One was when I saw the ad, they end with this big Mockingbird logo. And I was like, oh, man, that's going to piss off Donald Sutherland. He just, like, made a law that you can't use that in things. Like, that's really going to get his goats. And then the second one was, why aren't they hashtagging their slogans?
Yeah.
Like, hashtag join the Mockingjay, hashtag join the fight.
Do you think that was a problem, you know, gaining people to join the rebellion? You know, the people are just searching for things. You know, oh, I really hate District 1. I'd really like to be part of a rebellion. Let me just pull out my iPhone and search for that. No, I can't really see. There's not much going on Twitter. Not really much word of rebellion. I guess no one's up for it. But if they'd have been bombarding Twitter with the, you got it trending, you know, trending in districts, you know, 11 and 10, get it district in all your key sort of demographics where you want to be trending. Wow, people would have been all over that rebellion via Twitter.
Yeah, I think it's not going to hurt having the hashtags. I think hashtags get people excited. It makes them feel like they're part of something. Like, they're more likely to, I think, you know, sign up for the war if they're already getting excited about the hashtag.
Yeah, do you think it was because people, they didn't want people just being satisfied with the hashtags? Like, did you fight in the rebellion? Nah, I did retweet it.
Yeah, maybe that's it, but that's how people get involved in stuff now. They want to be more than just hashtag about it. Because then if you're like, oh, you're part of the rebellion, right? You're like, oh yeah, I'm tweeting up a storm out of that hashtag. We got it to number one, trending. Mission, I can go to bed now. Like, my job's done.
Mission accomplished.
Now, the ad is quite good. Right, like, we like the ad. It's very powerful. Now, Donald Sutherland's got a few tricks up his sleeve. And it's pretty much using one of our favourites from the last movie, Peter, in interviews with one of our other favourites from the last movie, Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, Peter, most improved, highly valuable player. Donald Sutherland has been doing all these interviews where he's saying, you know, shouldn't be doing this. Rebellion's not a good idea. Just listen to the guys at the top. They're there for a reason. They know what they're talking about. And
yeah.
This seems to incite everyone that's a part of the rebellion. And Katniss is like, no, how could he say it? Did you at any point think that he actually felt that way?
No.
It was clearly just because, oh yeah, like, they pretty much have him hostage, and he's probably being forced to say that. Like, why was anybody in the rebellion upset that he was saying those things?
It's probably a guy with a gun, like, standing 2 meters away from it, like, just off camera.
Yeah, the guy with the cue cards. He had a gun. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I didn't think people were, well, this is, I tweeted, because no one is more upset with Peter than Gale. Like, this. Going like, what a traitor, like, what an idiot, like, I hate him, like... I do think Gail's mad at Katniss defending Peter because she kissed him in the second Hunger Games.
Mm.
Do you agree with my assessment? There's really got nothing to do about the Tucci interviews and everything to do that the kiss in the most in Hunger Game All-Stars, and you and me called it, looked like a real kiss, not just like a fake for the camera's kiss.
Yeah, he's definitely jealous. He's upset with Katniss over the kiss. He is viewing Peter as competition. So if you're competing for Katniss, there are two ways to play this. Up your value or try and lower Peter's value. So Peter's spouting all this anti-rebellion stuff on the TV via these interviews. And I think Gail has tried to be like, look at this. Look at this traitor, Peter. No good. Can't believe you kissed this guy. Is dissing the rebellion on TV. I think he overplayed his hand. I think he tried to make too big a deal out of it, ended up pointing out the fact that he's probably saying this under duress, and just made him look a bit desperate and jealous.
Very insecure. Insecurity, I think, was one of my hashtags on that tweet, and my other hashtag was, it's never about the rebellion. I think it's just so insecure. Like, I feel like if Peter's being a douchebag, you let him hang himself. Like, you don't come in and like you. If he's being so overtly unattractive, you coming in and saying it's not going to do anything. It's just going to draw attention to you kicking a guy when he's down, or you being insecure about your relationship. I think he should have just, hopefully Katniss sees this in him. He was insecure. He was really like, it was really, really, really relationship red flag here for the Gale-Katniss relationship.
Film one, I wasn't really in love with Peter, and we didn't really see much of Gale, so I didn't really pick a side.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Film two, I was firmly Team Peter.
Yeah, I think we were on the same page with that.
As he went up, Gail has continued to go down, locking in repeat vote for me. Mockingjay Part 1, I'm Team Peter.
Well, I am definitely not Team Gail. His stock has definitely gone down. I think Peter's stock has also gone down. I feel like it has not been a great movie for Gale or Peter.
Bonnie, are you Team Gale or Team Peter?
I think Peter peaked in the last movie.
Looks-wise or based on the plot?
Well, combined.
Okay, so physical appearance-wise, Team Gale.
Whoa.
Okay, yeah.
I'm split otherwise. I mean, I like Peter, but...
You must be putting a lot of weight into the looks.
Well, no, but remember, if you remember back to the first book, she and Gale have, like, a really special relationship before all of this gets started, and they kind of talked about how they wanted to end up together. They were best friends, so it's... For Peter to just waltz in and get the girl, I don't know.
Oh,
Peter.
It doesn't like book people to be a little more Team Gale than you get movie fans.
All right. Well, we hate books and I hate Gale, so Team Peter.
Yeah, I really hate Gale. He just embodies insecurity for me in this film. They go to rescue Peter, right?
I'm sure Gail's putting in 100%.
Well, Gail signs up for the mission. This was a bizarre move. This was a confusing move to me. You try and talk me through why, Jonathan. Yeah.
Well, as much as he doesn't really want Peter in the picture, if he doesn't go on the mission, like, how does that really look? Does Katniss go, I'm out there trying to save one of our best friends, and it was part of the deal that in the Hunger Games that we save Peter, and you're just gonna... Yeah, I bet you're just staying home and you hope that he dies, don't you? You hope I come back alone. Whereas if he goes and he's like, yeah, I'll save Peter for you. Because if he carries out Peter and he saves Peter and he's the big manly man, that kind of makes Peter look like the damsel in distress. And who are you going to pick if you're Katniss? The hero or the damsel?
Good point. And I think also, like, the mission was probably going to succeed or it wasn't. You want to be on the winning team. You don't want to be the guy that, like, you don't want Peter to rock up and you not have been the guy saving him.
Mm. Also, you could say, like, you're going for Katniss. I was there to protect you.
Yeah. Did Katniss go on the mission, though?
I don't remember.
I don't think she was. I think they wouldn't let her go. And Gail's like, don't worry, I'll go. And
no, even more selfless.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I guess that is a good move for Gail. I guess that's a smart... He's thinking here. I was a bit confused by that. She also has a moment with Gail also at the lake, and then she sings a song or something. I don't know, like...
You should know, because they're playing it in all the clubs. How does it go? Yep. Bonnie, sing the Hanging Tree song. She's shaking her head. Anyway, no. There's a dance remix of it. It's all the rage.
I thought this wasn't as good a ad as the first one with the hospital burning.
Yeah, no. No innocent people dying.
Yeah, no, like, do you really want to see your star of the rebellion just singing a song about a hanging tree or something? Like,
yeah, well, maybe that's why they made the dance remix, because the song's a little bit of a downer.
Yeah.
But then you put a bit of a bit of synth, auto-tune on the chorus. All of a sudden, all the rebellion's banging. They're like, yeah, Hanging Tree, yeah. Mockingjay, woo, get on it.
Well, I did hear that in the next Hunger Games movie, someone's going to ask Katniss to tap dance for the rebellion. Or do a lip dub. Yeah, anyway. So they go on this mission to save Peter. It seems like it doesn't go well. Like, seems like Donald Sutherland's got the upper hand.
Yeah, this was a little bit bizarre. They went in. Bonnie said Peter's more trouble than he's worth.
Totally disagree with that.
You know what I'm talking about. If you're just a movie person, then you don't know what I'm
talking. So they go in there, and it seems like, ooh, yeah, we snuck in, we're so good. Oh, it was an ambush. They knew we were coming all along. We feel a bit silly. But then they don't get captured or killed or anything. They just let them leave. They're like, yep, you go, you take Peter and go back to your little rebellion. Suspicious indeed.
Yeah.
But no, everything's happy. They're like, oh, yay, Peter's back. And Katniss,
when you feel like things are going that simple on your own, we're on a mission. We're rescuing some people, and it just, like, that sort of suspiciously too easy thing happens. Should we just do something really left field? Like, clearly we've fallen into their hands a bit. Like, we're doing everything they've predicted us to do. Do we need to just do something so left field, so out of, like, insane, that it just throws them off?
Yeah, I don't know. It's, well, what do you do? Just leave without Peter.
You can't really do that. I'd definitely take Peter to somewhere else, though.
Yeah. It's like...
I don't know. You just got to mix it up at that point. As soon as you're on the way back, you go, that was way too easy. We need to now do something they would not have expected us to do now.
Yeah. I don't know. Is Peter going to explode?
Let's not take... Is there a bomb in?
Is there a bomb in?
That was so simple. Like, they just let us take, and they're so good guys. No one died. It's just a successful mission. And the only problem is that Peter's ticking. Like, that's okay. We can live with that.
That does seem a bit Roadrunner-esque. It's like this, like a can of tasty Roadrunner food just left there waiting for them. It's like, is this going to let me leave with my delicious Roadrunner food? I hope the Roadrunner food doesn't try and kill me when I get home.
Yeah. Anyway, they're getting back, and it doesn't go well. There's a bit of a kink, and what's the thing that goes wrong?
Oh, we see Peter, he's lying in the bed, you're like, oh, Katniss is going to go, and he's going to wake up, and they're going to be like, Peter, I missed you! As he gets it, he grabs onto it and starts strangling Katniss, grabs her by the neck, and he tries to kill Katniss. Oh my god, that's
not cool.
Bonnie, are you upset with Peter for trying to kill Katniss? Yeah, no, this is not points. This is not points for Team Peter in Bonnie's mind.
I think he's clearly been brainwashed or something, which I think they do say the next scene. So I don't blame Peter for this, but I feel like it does fit into Bonnie's comment that he's more trouble than he's worth.
He's
drama.
Is Peter the Taylor Swift of boys? Yeah, they do say something like he was tortured or drugged or something. He has been brainwashed. That made me think what of the interviews was from Peter and what was not. Because he says all this stuff bad about the rebellion, but then he's like, no, don't do it, Katniss, it's a trap. And then they shut it off. So at that point you think Peter's still in control. But maybe that reveal from Peter was all a part of the plan as well. That was part of the brainwashing. So that him coming out seeming genuine is what lures them to go get Peter and think that he's, like, fighting against them. And that's why it's even more of a surprise when he leaps out and tries to kill Katniss.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Interesting. Mm. Very interesting. So, Peter, yeah, it just... she's not in a committed relationship with him. They're not engaged. They're not married or anything. He's got some issues. It's probably easier just to walk away from the situation. Like, still be a mate to him, but... Yeah. Because I think you've got one boyfriend that's been brainwashed into wanting to kill you, and you've got another boyfriend who is, like, incredibly insecure and boring. I think she's better off without both of these guys.
Not in the book. He's not boring in the books.
Okay, it would be like if you were dating a girl and you grew up and you loved each other and you were like positive you were soulmates, and then all of a sudden she has to go off to war and she meets said other boy and then he sweeps her away. That's not fair.
Maybe. Maybe.
I didn't pick that, like, beautiful love story up from the movies, though, of Gale and Katniss.
Were they ever romantically involved before the Hunger Games?
Not technically.
Yeah, he should have made his move. He left it too long, didn't he?
Very young.
You don't just be in love with someone their whole life and then wait for them to go on the Hunger Games and then be like...
Well, I think he tried to volunteer to stop her, didn't he?
Sounds like a Gale kind of thing to do.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest. if anyone knows something about leaving it a bit too long to make the move, it's me. Does seem like that's what Gale's done here.
We can all learn from Gale and Matt's mistakes. And the message of the story being, seize the moment. Take your opportunities.
Hey, there's this girl I sort of like a little bit, not really, but I haven't seen her in like a couple of months. Do I send her a Facebook message to say she wants to grab coffee, or do I need to see her at something else before I can do that? It might seem a bit weird a couple months later, just out of the blue.
I would just provide the context, just saying, hey, just doing a podcast on Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 and realize Gale didn't really take his chances with Katniss before she went on the Hunger Games, and now there's this big drama with this other guy, Peter. I haven't read the book, so I don't know how it ends, but I feel like from this, I should take the opportunity before some real-life Peter takes you away to just say, hey, want to grab coffee?
Okay, I'm checking her likes right now to see if she likes the Hunger Games as a movie.
Good strategy.
Okay, we do not have a great lineup of movies that she likes. It's not a bit of a red flag.
Is Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1 on there?
No.
All right, because Part 2 would be all right. Part 1 is unacceptable.
It's The Castle and She's the Man.
Big thumbs down from Bunny.
Yeah. The first two TV shows are in the mixed bag. Grey's Anatomy and The West Wing.
Your favourite show of all time, and the show that will never end, featuring Katherine Heigl, who placed, what did she place in our pathetic character rank?
Oh, yeah, was it second or third? I think it was top three, right?
It was top three for sure.
And she's known for being one of the highest maintenance, most hard to deal with celebrities on sets. She has a bad reputation for being a little bit demanding.
So there you go. She might share similar political views to you, Matt, but she'll be very hard to deal with.
But anyway, no word on the Hunger Games. No word on the Hunger Games, whether that would be. Because some girls would like that, a Hunger Games reference in an Ask Out. Some girls would hate that, I'd imagine.
Bonnie does not recommend. So, after...
I'm going to go with Bonnie's advice and not yours.
We'll see. We'll see how that pans out. So the film, I don't know, after that, pretty much just ends, doesn't it? They go, well,
yeah.
We'll tend to Peter in a little bit. And yeah, ooh, now we're mad. Now we're going to go to the Capitol. The end.
Mm. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I didn't find that, though. Like, it seemed like a good place to end. Like, it didn't annoy me, the two parts, as much as, like, other films where it seemed unnecessary, like a Twilight or a Harry Potter. Like, it seemed like, oh, yeah, I think there's enough stuff to keep me entertained and interested in this film, and it sort of ends in a natural enough point.
I don't think it baited you with something... Something in the next 2 minutes is about to happen, but wait, no, that's the end, and you'll have to wait till next year. I feel like it did end, as you said, at a relatively natural point, but I disagree that it had enough to keep you going for the length of this film. It was, I don't know, 2+ hours, and compared to the first two Hunger Games films, I thought was very slow. I thought it did a good job of keeping things tense, which kept you going throughout the length of the film, but by the end you just started to notice the lack of action, and I thought, yeah, this is definitely a film made on half a book rather than a whole book.
Yeah. Are we ready to give it a verdict?
Bonnie, join in on the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 verdict.
Sure. Should I come closer?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, come closer.
Here I come.
Grab.
Here she comes.
One of the interns will get you a chair.
Oh, thank you, Tim. You can go back in the closet now.
Groundlings.
Pays off, doesn't it?
All right, Bonnie, kick us off.
Mid-sip. Okay. I'm going to... What are we doing? On a 5 or out of 10?
Do it out of 10.
I forgot.
You can do a summarizing statement and then a score out of 10.
A summarizing statement.
Yes.
If you had a score out of 5, just double it.
Thanks, Matt. That helps a lot because I'm not good at math.
Matt has a calculator, the screen verdict calculator, on hand.
Okay.
I'm a qualified elementary school teacher.
I think I'm going to give my score and then I'll give my synopsis. But I think I would give it a 6 out of 10. I thought it, for the sake of Hollywood, tried to separate it into two films to make money and therefore seemed slow and boring compared to the book and watered down. The end.
Boom.
Oh, Bonnie, not a huge fan.
Chris Rock drops the mic and walks off stage.
Okay.
But I still like Jennifer Lawrence. I still say that everybody needs to read the books. The movies are just not cutting it. That's really it. I mean, the books are page turners.
Mm.
So.
Oh. Yeah. We've got I've got a friend, Victoria, who, you know, Tori Anderholt, right? And she gave me a massive grilling for not having read the Hunger Games book when I was in staying with them. She was very much like, how you've got to read it before seeing the movies. I'm like, no, I like Jennifer Lawrence. She was very disappointed in me. I said, I know who you get on well with, my friend Jess.
But I think that you guys are right. If you see the movie, it's a totally different view. So, you know, it's hard to assess it. Once you've read the books, you assess the movie completely differently than if you just see the movies, you know?
I think Matt would be more likely to read the books if they were illustrated with pictures of Jennifer Lawrence.
Mm.
They should do that. They would sell more copies. That would be smart. The publisher should do that.
Okay. I think I gave the first one a 5.5 and the second one maybe a 7.
I was generous, wasn't I?
You would... I thought it was well made, decent themes, good performances. I like Jennifer Lawrence, Stanley Tucci, they're my favorites. I just think there wasn't enough. It with a few good moments of filmmaking, intense trickery, it made you think that there was enough of a story for a 2-hour-plus movie. But by the end, this was revealed to not be the case, and I felt a little underwhelmed by it. I am going to give this... You know, I'm going to agree. I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10. Marginally better than the first one, not as good as the second.
Mm. I really enjoyed this movie. I really like the Hunger Games movies. They're sort of fun. They're well-structured. I think, like, great actors in them. Like, you know, Jennifer Lawrence. I think this is Jennifer Lawrence's best performance, like, in all the Hunger Games. I think she was really strong here. I think Stanley Tucci's worst. We lost a bit of his flair, and he's in a bit more of a Debbie Downer this season of the Hunger Games. But I still really enjoyed it. I don't think it was as good as the last one. We actually saw a Hunger Games and some teams, and like we had that sort of element. I do think it dragged a little bit, but no, I really enjoyed it for what it was. I'm going to give it a, I don't know, half a point less than what I gave the last Hunger Games film.
Do you research, Matt, and give us a score?
7.5.
I think whoever made this movie did not listen to our MTV Video Music Awards podcast this year. We were highly critical, and deservedly so, on Sia's Chandelier, because the music video had no chandelier. This Hunger Games, we were looking forward to, it obviously did not learn from that, because there were no Hunger Games.
Oh, I was about to say there was a Mockingjay, I thought. Yes, you're right. There were no Hunger Games.
No Hunger Games.
I agree. No Hunger Games. That's
Jennifer
a shame.
Lawrence, I want my $15 back, girl. If you're hearing this.
What?
I want my $15 and I want an hour to hang out with you. Okay, bye.
You know,
I got 2.5 hours getting to watch Jennifer Lawrence. Like, I don't want my money back.
I'm straight.
With all the letters, with all the tweets, with all the emails, all the Facebook messages, I am sure that Jennifer Lawrence and or Jennifer Lawrence's lawyers are listening to this podcast. So I think that she'll probably get that message. We'll see if we can get that $15 back for you.
Cash, yeah. Please. Cash only.
Unmarked, non-consecutive bills. All right. So I think Matt's Jennifer Lawrence and or Amy Adams bias came into play there with a wildly generous score.
Do you want me to try to find Jess Jones's verdict? I'll give it a quick go. It'll just depend on whether when I change from Skype. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Okay. All right. We've got about 14 minutes to wrap up the podcast.
Okay, that's fine. That's easy. She goes, well, I thought J-Law was really good. Probably best of her performances in HG films to me. Also, I found it more gripping than expected as I was cynical about the two film split, and I thought Gale was kind of boring-ish. That's about all I can remember / put into words. And I was like, cool, cheers. What do you give it out of 10? She goes, maybe a solid 7 or 7.5. I don't know. Huh? That was quite similar to mine.
Yeah, I was thinking every single one of those remarks sounds like it came from you, Matt.
Matt, you just totally ripped her off. You just read her
text. That was legit, Jess. We'll get her on the next housekeeping if you want to validate that was her thoughts.
Yeah, well, we'll need some sort of video because that was a dead ringer for Jess Jones in terms of audio.
Matt, I'm going to need to see your citations.
Harvard-style referencing, please.
Just wait, I'll do a better Jess Jones. Hello there, I'm Jess Jones, and
is she American?
Love the Hunger Games.
I don't know what that was, Matt. But that was not a female named Jess.
No, it's my alleged, my apparent Frank Underwood and or governor impression that apparently the same impression.
You've got good range, Matt. Just got general southern man and 10-year-old girl.
Okay, so let's go to housekeeping because we've got 40, probably 12 minutes now to wrap up the podcast. So open it up. It's like a door creaking open. We're here. You didn't have any, did you, Jonathan?
No housekeeping.
I had a bit left over from the last one that we, due to a Skype connection, didn't get through. The first one I'll rush through, because on reflection, it's probably a little boring. Well, maybe not. Sorry, that's going to get people unexcited about it. It's actually pretty exciting.
All right.
We
hitters.
You know our podcast rivals, right? Long-time listeners will know.
Dad's Army podcast. Can't stand them.
The Dad's Army podcast. They were beating us on the Podomatic ratings for a bit. We finally were able to overtake them in the rankings, in which I sent an email to them saying, we finally bested you guys. Get in touch if you want. But just we wanted you to know we beat you finally. No reply to the email, and they never published a podcast since that email.
I've got to say, it felt pretty good to kill the Dad's Army podcast. Yeah,
this was 3 years ago. Anyway.
The glory lives on.
They're back.
Oh, man. This is like an ill-advised sequel.
Yeah.
We've revived the nemesis.
Well, talk about ill-advised sequels. They're back because they've announced a Dad's Army movie. They're making, not these guys, the podcast, Hollywood or the BBC or whatever, are making a Dad's Army movie. So here's their description for their latest podcast. Well, here it is, as threatened, for one night only. Yes, this will be offline by tomorrow. No, not really. Oliver and James report for duty after 3 years to talk about the return of Dad's Army to the big screen. So put the kettle on. Make sure you ration hundreds and thousands are within reach and listen to the boys as they try hard not to talk about Doctor Who. Get in touch with us by tweeting us. They're back. The That's the Hungry podcast is back. They were back in the top 10 on Podomatic's film and TV ratings within the week.
And they've obviously listened to this podcast. They've decided to take it to Twitter. The Dad's Army Rebellion has started a Twitter war with Screen Verdict.
Yeah. So, I'll get in touch with them again. And maybe when the movie comes out, we can get them on to talk about the Dad's Army movie. I don't know. Like,
they should be so lucky.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll see.
We'll see. We'll try and get that. We'll
some make more that happen. Podcast news, Jonathan.
Mm.
Podcast news at an all-time high. And it's something I'm a bit concerned about. It's something that I'm a bit...
I'm here to help, Matt.
Can you play the music file I sent you, and then I'll fill you in. You may or may not be aware of this. Okay. On April 29, 2014, the Screen Verdict podcast reopened a mystery from a school in 1999, trying to get to the bottom of the case... speaking to those involved, the accused, the witnesses, and those affected. On October 3rd, 2014, Sarah Koenig started a serial podcast that reopened a mystery from a school in 1999, trying to get to the bottom of the case, speaking to those involved, the accused, the witnesses, the victims, stuff like that. Funny, I know, curious. It can't help but lead you to ask the questions. Had Koenig heard of the Screen Verdict podcast before taking on the Serial podcast? If that's the case, shouldn't Screen Verdict podcast get credit for launching the most popular, successful podcast of all time? If this is the case, is this a case of podcast theft? And if so, what can we do about it? Have you heard about the Serial podcast, Jonathan?
To be honest, I didn't really know that any other podcasts existed after we killed the Dad's Army one. At least it's the only one that I have on my iPod or iTunes. Who are these imposters?
You haven't heard of the Serial
Thieves.
Podcast.
Thieves, if you will.
This is the most popular podcast of all time. It's got 5 million downloads in its first whatever. Like, it's blowing up. She got on the Colbert Report to talk about.
We got bumped for this Serial podcast. It's coming back to me now. I tried to sort of black it out.
Yeah. So in 1999, there was a murder in a high school that was sort of never, like, well, a guy was convicted of it, so I guess it was solved, but he thinks he's innocent, so she went and talked with everyone, called people up on the phone, got them to talk about the case, get different perspectives to hopefully see whether he did it or not, which is pretty much just a dead ringer, like a carbon copy of our cookie theft podcast, where we went back to my old high school and called people up about a cookie theft.
That is, she's just lucky that someone was murdered at a high school, really.
Yeah.
That's very convenient. She go, well, there was a similar mystery at my high school. It's actually kind of a sexy one. It's not just missing cookies, it's a murder. I can do the same. Yeah. I can do the same podcast, but just
pretty much
dramatize it a little.
I don't know if we need to reach out to these Serial people, just see what their story is. I might send her an email. This could be the second case that the Screen Verdict Detective Agency opens. Did Serial steal our podcast idea?
Well, I'm confident that we could solve that. We have a 100% success rate when it comes to solving cold cases. Yeah. And this one's a hot one. That'll be even easier.
Podcast came out in the same year. Oh, sorry?
Well, this one will be even easier. It's a hot case.
Yeah, their one came 6 months after our podcast. Two cases the exact same year both our mysteries took place. It just can't be coincidence.
No, well,
Or can it?
Could they be connected?
Did Adnan or Jay actually steal the cookies?
Or did Tim... murder someone in order to cover up the case of the missing cookies.
Mm. Yes. Poor man. Anyway, the good news is it was Jess Jones who was the lead onto this serial podcast. She was the one who told me about it, who raised the alarm, so we can now hopefully look into this.
All right.
So, but there
the
you go,
Screen Burning private detective spoil. Team is on the case.
Yes. So anyway, that's the housekeeping.
And in the meantime, we'll be keeping you updated, getting back on our regular Screen Verdict schedule in 2015 with some film reviews. We'll be having our end of year awards, the best of 2014, the SVs. Oh, geez, I was going to say the Oscars, but then I was like, who cares about the Oscars when we've got the SVs to be given out?
Mm. Yes, so that's exciting, and I guess we'll give ourselves an extra week or. So maybe just to see, catch those last-minute films that are eligible.
And we'll be bringing you all the star-studded, golden statued action via the internet.
Yeah.
Not next week. Probably not next week. Maybe the week after.
Maybe the week after. Maybe next week. Let's see. Like, I don't know what we're podcasting on next week.
Yeah, listen... Just keep it. We like to have a casual relationship with our listeners. It's open. We're not going to lock you. We're not going to lock you into anything. We like to give our listeners that freedom.
Yeah. Oh well, it's good.
So enjoy that freedom, and we'll see you next week.
May the odds ever be in your favor. That's from the Hunger Games.
Man, I'd look out for Donald Sutherland if I were you. If you see any white bearded men, it's not Santa Claus. Christmas has been and gone. It's Donald Sutherland coming to murder you.
Oh, boy.
See ya.